we're making this more boring than it has to be.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll have like crazy questions about the Bible. Then I'm like, you know, let's go there. My son asked me what color God was. Like,
what a good question.
And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, well, is he green? I was like, well, I don't think he's green, but this is a new question for me. But, you know, but I rolled with it because it's the sort of thing, like, if I'm not taking him seriously with these, like, questions he's asking, then he'll eventually be like, oh, my dad doesn't want to engage with me on these things.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
We got one more day talking about spiritual habits in your home. This is a conversation every Christian parent needs to have, and it's been so practical, and I think we can actually do it. That's the thing.
I think we realize that you guys have probably heard, too, that really, the first 12 years, you're their main influence. But
right.
As teenagers, the outer world and their peers become more of an influence. So we kind of started asking a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So that's instead good. Of just
hearing,
they already know your seven principles. They've
right.
The catechism, now that's in their mind, now you're asking questions what they think about it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you're
that's
getting
really
to
good.
Their heart of, what do you think about that? And not freaking out if it's not the same as yours, because you're seeing them evolve in who God's making them to be and what their thoughts are. I think it's the most fun part of discovering.
Yeah, but and it very much is
fun
exactly what our, because exactly what our book is trying to do. So the six steps, you got to make
yeah,
it,
let's
you
got to hit those.
You got to make it easy.
Yeah.
You got to make it tangible. You got to pick a place. You got to find your friends. You got to choose your timing. So you think about all these different things.
Hey, you forgot one.
I was five.
Did I name five?
Make it playful.
Make it playful.
Come
yep.
on. Please.
We
got to
talk about that in a minute. But
so
yeah.
The example for this would be choose your timing. There is a time when your child is much more willing to have a longer conversation with you. And there are sometimes when they're not, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the better or worse. And sometimes it feels like worse. My girls at bedtime
yes.
want
oh
to
gosh.
Ask the deepest questions.
Yes.
Right?
The older they get, the later it gets.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh
well,
my gosh. You're
I need
so right.
To do something to prepare for that. But right, so choose your timing would say, okay, I'm shifting into a season. When you become aware of it, where you heard a sermon, you read a book, you were listening to a podcast, and you're like, okay, I need to shift more into questions. The first thing you need to do is not just go start asking questions. You need to go see, can I remind myself to do this?
When?
With something tangible. When do I want to remind myself to do that? And then you put cues into your environment in order to make yourself do something that you have not naturally been doing for 12 years now, is actually start asking questions rather than teaching.
Yeah.
And so then make it easy would be, don't go in every single night expecting that you're going to have a conversation to the depth that you want to,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
You go in every night being like, hey, what's up? You know, what happened today? Nothing. Okay, great, cool. I mean, there's sometimes you want to push in, but the consistency of asking questions will then once a week, once a month, whatever cadence you end up getting, depending on how talkative your child is, you'll actually then get into the deeper conversation that you're available to. What the book is trying to say is create a very small expectation for yourself. I'm going to ask some kind of question today at bedtime.
Mm.
And that's it. And then if you get the response, then it's beautiful and you kind of take it wherever it's going to go. But by picking the timing, by making it easy, you want to add the friends one into it. If you have another friend that has teenagers as well, say, I'm going to do this as well. Will you yeah. do it with
oh,
me?
Oh, that's a good idea.
If the second person is doing it as well, it greatly increases the likelihood that you're actually going to be consistent. So that's what each one of the small steps is trying to do. Environment would be, I'm going to cover all of them now. The environment
good.
Would be, is the bedroom the place?
Right.
Or is the dinner table the place?
Or the car?
Is or the car
the place?
Yeah,
like, so you take all of those things and you put them together and you can kind of say, all right, here's, and then it's not going to work and you have
right.
to change something. Okay, it's all worked except the environment was not exactly right. Or this all worked, but I needed to tweak the timing to before they go in the room rather than after they go in the room. And so hopefully it's a playbook for how you can identify something needs to change in our spiritual rhythms. How am I going to go do that? Here's a playbook for how you can script something for yourself.
I mean, you know this, but everything you just said applies to marriage as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Think about it. That's actually really good.
Because as you just said that, and even looking, you know, at your six small steps, I'm thinking married couples could take the exact same strategy.
It would work for any habit.
Yeah,
and we just, totally. We're directing right. it towards spiritual ones. But yeah. we're in, my wife and I are in a season, again, just want to learn everything that you guys experienced during, as your kids got to the point that they wanted to stay up later than you do.
Oh,
like our girls, it's like 9 o'clock and I'm like, can y'all go to your bedroom, please? I'm trying to hang out with your mom. Like, can y'all leave
us
alone?
Don't you miss that time?
I do.
Uh-huh.
So what we're yes. having to do is actually, so my wife works from home. I get home. She works a little bit later and she comes out and she's like, does anybody want to go on a walk? And I'm like, me? Because this is the only opportunity we're going to have to talk
about. Alone time.
So, yeah. But you're exactly right. So our timing of those intentional conversations, it has ended up shifting. And so that's why you have to, you answer the six steps, but you have to always be willing to make small tweaks. You don't throw everything out if yeah. it's worked before. Sometimes you just have to make one small little adjustment and you can continue to be consistent with whatever habit you're trying to develop.
And if we don't do that, then we go one of two ways. You keep plowing ahead with the habit you had before when it's no longer age appropriate and everyone's frustrated, or you just bail on it altogether.
Yeah.
So when the kids are young, reading the Bible to them matters. And when they're older, they don't need the Bible anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, no, Bible still matters, but you got to be really creative to say, all right, the story Bible worked when he was 5. Now he's 15. It's clearly not that. What is it now? Asking the question is easier than coming up with the answer, but always asking, what does it look like to have a Bible rhythm, a prayer rhythm, a Sabbath rhythm with our kids at this stage, knowing the answer is going to be different year to year and just deal with the dynamism, you know?
You guys said it earlier, but I think it's so important that they're seeing it
yes,
modeled.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In you and your wife. I mean, they sniff out if it's not authentic. If dad isn't walking with God, they know.
Well, this is
and
where
if it's not an overflow, you're just doing a habit. It's got to come out of your personal walk with God.
Mm-hmm. Advent Blocks started with Clayton's older daughter, Kara, identifying this lack of congruence between what they were saying they believed and what was actually going
yeah,
on.
So Kara was 5 years old and she said, Mommy and Daddy, you say that Christmas is all about Jesus, but it feels like Christmas is all about presents. So yeah,
I've said that to my wife.
They definitely know.
I said that to Anne. How many presents do we have under the stinking tree?
I'm probably guilty of that. But when I read that, I thought, I think every kid would say that almost.
Totally. Yeah.
So right. When she said that, what did you think?
That we were doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And so we had to change something. And so the next year we ended up creating something. But the same thing with it. You say that the weekends are all about rest, but you still check your email. You say that weekends are all about rest, but I get more tired on Saturdays than I do any other. Like, so like our kids could point out that lack of congruence in a ton of different ways.
You say that social media is bad and I can't get a phone. And yet you're the one that, you know, glued to the phone all the time, dad, you know, they will sniff out the lack of consistency there.
And they'll call
you
on it.
And it's, you know,
it's terrible, you guys. It's
going.
Terrible.
It's hard.
They're driving now. Like, I thought we were supposed to obey the law. And you're going like 30 miles over the speed limit. What are you doing?
Yeah.
30 miles per hour.
A bit 30. Much, yeah. I don't go 30. Maybe 5.
I was talking about myself.
Oh, okay. You do go 30.
Wow.
She has a blind spot there, guys. She thinks she's just drive home. You're going 82 right now. And you think I drive fast. Okay, that's a whole nother conversation. Great marriages don't just happen. They take intentional investment.
And that's why we want to acknowledge today's sponsor, Weekend to Remember, a 3-day marriage getaway hosted by Family Life.
Weekend to Remember has been held in cities across the country for more than 40 years with over 80 events each year.
And millions of couples have attended to strengthen communication, resolve conflict, and grow together.
To find an event near you and learn more, visit weekendtoremember.com. So what do you say to the parent that's like, right now they're listening and they're going, I'm not living it?
That would be the place to start. It's a good thing when you have kids and they're like, I should probably go back to church.
Yeah.
I should be serious about this again.
Yeah.
And if that's where you are, then all right, follow that trend. But the more important than like figuring out how to do this for your kids is to answer that question for yourself.
Yes.
If your kid has identified that you don't actually live in a way that seems to be the life of following Jesus, first of all, accept the fact that they hurt your feelings, cry about it a little if you need to, right? Spend your moment. but then say, all right, do I actually believe this? If I did, what would I want to be different about my life? And start with that. Take it one step at a time. You'll get to the spot of saying, well, now how do I transmit this to my children? But the more important thing, like Clayton has mentioned, is build your own robust life of faith. And then you could try to invite your children into that. You can't invite your children into something if it's not there. So like work on that first.
But I also just, for the person who is listening that feels that pressure, our faith is not about being perfect.
Oh, that's good.
It's not. It is about striving to follow.
Yeah.
It is about pursuing joy in a relationship with God and living the way that he's designed us to live. It is completely about that, but it is not about doing that perfectly. Mm. One person did that perfectly.
That's good.
So for the person who is thinking, I'm off, my kids are watching me, I'm so incongruent for what I need to be doing for them, it's an incredibly great place to be because you're just demonstrating grace in front of them.
Yeah.
You just have to be willing to accept the grace that God has given you in front of them. And there's no better thing for your kid than seeing you give them grace, receive grace from God, because that's what we're trying to know more, is we're trying to know the God that wants to know us and who is gracious. If you're in a spot, which we all have been, where you're not doing what you need to do in order to show your kids the way, in some ways, you're doing precisely what you need to do as long as you don't stop there. Mm-hmm. You have to then actually show them how to receive that
grace. How do you own that with your kids? Do you admit it to them?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah. Generationally, I think that we probably do that more. I'm speaking of myself and Kristen. We probably do that more than our parents did, or maybe we just don't remember it.
So you're saying you do that more than we do?
I was going to ask.
Probably
I was
more ask than you did if, when your kids were younger, unless you were exceptional.
You grew into. We definitely talk about it on a regular basis. There's a dance between kind of being a vulnerable, imperfect human and kind of retaining the leadership that you have in your home. Andy Crouch wrote an amazing book called Strong and Weak, where he talks about leadership vulnerability and how we're strong and weak in front of the people that we're leading. Mm. You could take that leadership vulnerability chapter and just apply it to parenting, just carte blanche.
But I do think there's something about a parent or parents sitting down with kids at dinner or whatever, say, guys, my walk with God matters so much to me, but I feel like I'm not consistent all the time. Yeah. And I think the greatest gift, I could see myself saying this, I think the greatest gift I could give to you guys is knowing who Jesus is and how much he loves you and who he is and who you are in him, kind of like what you're saying. And I would love to start doing this in a way that's not weird or condemning, but like we just bring this into our family and build some habits, you know?
Yeah.
And I also think to pick up your book, if you're married, to go through it as a couple and to highlight it and say, this could work for us. These things are things we could try. But to start, as you said, small, really small, maybe just something you're adding once a week. But I also really like to, I think this is kind of our personalities. Your chapter 7, make it playful.
Yeah.
I think joy makes everything better. As a family, like, don't be the parents like, here's what, let me get out my big Bible. But just to have fun, to be yourself. And for us, that was really important, just to create memories, even in habits around these things. That's why I feel like what you guys have created with your cube, with your Advent blocks, they're really fun memories. And it's fun to do. They'll remember it with good feelings.
You guys make it playful?
Yeah. I mean, we try. The writing and all the stuff that I do is intentionally playful because I'm thinking, well, how am I going to keep a 5-year-old's attention for 3 minutes, which is a very hard thing to do. But even as we're doing other things when it comes to spiritual habits, kids, sometimes they'll say it's boring and they just need to buckle up and pay attention a little longer. But other times it's like, you know what? We're making this more boring than it has to be.
Yeah.
You know? And they'll have like crazy questions about the Bible that I'm like, you know, let's go there. My son asked me what color God was. Like,
what a good question.
And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, was he green? I was like, well, I don't think he's green, but this is a new question for me. But, you know, but I rolled with it because it's the sort of thing, like, if I'm not taking him seriously with these, like, questions he's asking, then he'll eventually be like, oh, my dad doesn't want to engage with me on these things. Mm. But the Bible it's very important. At times it is very serious, but it is full of surprising and sometimes silly and playful moments. I just finished reading the book of Judges There's a story in there.
What's the playful moment?
I was going to say, wait,
it's
what?
It's dark. It's a dark
it
book.
It is dark. But everything I did was right in her own eyes.
Ehud, you know, the left-handed judge, goes and kills the evil King Eglon, but the king is so fat that he stabs him and the poop comes out. And his men come to check on him and they find the door locked and they smell what's going on and they say, oh, we better not go in there. He's doing his business. And they wait for so long until they're embarrassed and then they break the door down. And all of this is in the story. And I'm like, that's really
silly.
Can't
make this stuff like, up.
You should be teaching this to middle schoolers.
Yeah, it's a very middle school kind of story, right? Yes. The poop is involved in the text. But, I mean, not every story is like that, but just saying like, you know, this is a fantastic story written by a god of creativity. Yeah. If we're making it sound boring, I think we're doing it wrong.
There's tons of books on play, you know, which we read a number as we were researching for the book. And there's this cycle that seems like discipleship where like you have to have a certain amount of vulnerability and connection with someone in order to be able to play something with them, to be playful.
Interesting.
But when you are playful, you think less about yourself. You think more about them. And that actually increases the connection that you have to them and actually deepens the vulnerability that you're willing to have the next time. And so the playfulness actually helps with connection of whoever is at the table. And that actually helps you with your kids in particular, but with your spouse and with your small group or with your employees or whatever, it's like, it allows you to kind of play the long game in terms of we're going to remain connected to these kids and they're going to want to continue to tell us what it's like to engage with adult kids.
Good.
Right. So, I mean, but then also with playfulness, if you ask me to tell you what the fruit of the spirit are, like I have to sing a song in my head in order to be able to tell you what it is,
love,
right?
Joy, peace,
and everybody has different songs for it. But like, I think that's probably the epicenter of when you think about playfulness in spiritual habits is you think about how you feel when you sing a song, if you grew up in the church that you learned at VBS, right? My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. That's playful, right?
Yeah.
The memory of that and the truth of that is still being embedded even in that dynamic kind of way.
Mm. And it looks different when you're an adult, but I think it's more like you're saying, like play has this element of joy and beauty. You know, it's not always silliness. I'm not as a grown-up saying like, well, I guess I better only read children's literature, but it sparks the imagination. I think of C.S. Lewis. He said that he first experienced a baptism of the imagination before a baptism of the mind. Mm. And people have this feeling with his stuff all the time. You read the Chronicles of Narnia, people who aren't Christians are like, man, I don't quite understand what's going on there, but I am compelled by this. I want whatever's going on here. So if we can do that with our art, that's just so beautiful and moving and joyful and playful or whatever, and then that transitions people into the actual, like the actual doctrines, why not?
Why not?
Yeah, I am sitting beside the queen of playfulness.
You're pretty good too.
No, you are the great. I mean, she created a character at our church called Miss Krabby.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And just a mean old crabby lady. And, you know, how about, it became this thing. The kids just ran up to her.
She was converted. Miss Krabby was converted.
She got converted. But let me ask you this, just for some final thoughts. Do you have any parenting fails? Have you guys failed in any area?
Well, I told you this Kara story, right?
Yeah.
Where Christmas was all about presents.
I think every parent can relate to that one.
Yeah.
But anything that comes to your mind that your kids would say, or you think that, I blew it on this one.
Yeah, I think we'll have a clear picture of that in like 10 years when they let us know, like, hey, this is a
major
problem.
They will let you know. They will let you know.
Something that comes to mind for me is this is going to sound weird. I was too insistent on trying to get my daughter particularly to read the Bible with me as she was becoming an early reader. And so I would have this time every night where my goal was to transition out of the kid Bible into like actual Bible. And so I decided what we will do is I'll have some time. I'll read my Bible. You'll sit next to me and you'll read yours for, 20 minutes. And we'll do this every night. And we tried it. And in my head, it worked great because she loved to read. But after like two or three nights, she wasn't enjoying it. Like it wasn't working. And I insisted for another like 2 weeks, no, we have to do this. I'm not sure she remembers it, but it's just this sense of like, no, this is what's right. We're going to do this and just continuing to drive it when it wasn't working with where she was and not being responsive. I think just saying like, hey, this is not working out. We'll figure out some other way. Probably look at the six steps. Is the timing wrong?
Yeah.
Should we use some other resource? Is this too boring? Do I need to make it more playful? But I wasn't asking those questions. I was thinking, if I care about discipling her in the Bible, we will read the Bible every day. It will happen like this. And I have a tendency to be like that. I have an idea. This is going to be good for our family. We will make it happen. And I don't care if everybody hates it. You know? And I just need to recognize that I could be really pushy as a parent. Leadership is fine, but being pushy and overbearing is not. And so just always keeping an eye on like, am I leaving space for everybody who lives with me to have their own life and not feel like they're on tiptoes because I guess we all have to do all the things dad says. So that would be a big one for me.
That's a good word.
Do you want an answer that is like solvable or one that's terrifying and not solvable?
It has to be terrifying.
Well, now I want the terrifying one.
Yeah, I do want both.
The solvable one is we let prayer at night lapse from our kind of regular routines. We still have a good connection and conversation. It's been more difficult to put that back in as opposed to if I was should have had it be continuous. Our efforts have been somewhat beneficial at this point, but we continue to try to add that back into to bedtime. So that's the solvable one. The terrifying one, since we've been given permission now, is my wife and I are both pretty driven, efficient, productive career types. And I'm terrified that we're going to give that to our girls. Yeah. What I know about the world is the world is about relationships. It's not about money and achievement. The world is about knowing and walking with God. Yes, yeah. God's world. As he created it to be. It's about knowing him and walking with him and with others. And just the operating system of my heart, because of where I grew up and the opportunities that have been in front of me, the operating system of my heart every single day I wake up is, what am I going to do to achieve more? And what I'm terrified about is I'm going to give that to them. Mm. And they may accredit that to me, and they may credit that to just society or something like that. But we are actively, probably more so even than working on the prayer at night, but we are actively trying to change our schedules and our vacation, how I relate to work, how I relate to my days.
I
have to fix the sin that's in my heart that's making me operate in a certain way. Because if I don't fix that, I'm going to pass that on. Hmm. So maybe I've been a failure. Maybe I still have a little bit of time. But
that you see it.
And it kind of goes back to like, you know, our walk with God. Hmm. And even if we use six small steps in order to be able to help myself be more consistent in that walk, my walk with God is probably the most important thing that I can do in a demonstration in front of them.
The treadmill comes up often. He's like, you know, I feel like that a lot of my life is encouraging me to just be on this treadmill and keep going faster and faster, faster. And God tells me that I need to step off the treadmill. It's like this, I have this image because I resonate with that too. It's just the image a lot. And so we'll talk about it. And he's mentioning like, I feel like I'm doing too much. And I'll say, well, are you trusting God enough to step off the treadmill here?
So. Well, I have flexibility in my job. More flexibility than a lot of people would. But this past summer, I took off a little bit more time than is normal, probably a little bit more time than I should if work is the thing that I'm primarily need to accomplish. And a couple weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, we were having dinner with somebody that lives in Spain, and they were talking about the PTO that you get in Europe and how it's so much more than the United States. And my girls are at the table. My daughter, Kara, the same one who convicted us at Christmas, Kara says, well, I feel like mommy and daddy have 40 days of vacation.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Every year.
Wow.
And we were like, what?
That's awesome.
And our friend asked, like, so what do you mean? She's like, well, I mean, I feel like whenever I'm out of school, they're not working. And I was like, oh.
See, that's awesome.
We have to like be making those intentional steps in order to be able to do that. And I had to like say no to one thing in order to be able to say yes to that. But
how beautiful is that?
That's a victory.
Yeah.
Well, let me say thanks, guys. Mm-hmm. And
thank you, guys.
Building Spiritual Habits in the Home is available today. FamilyLifeToday.com. Go to the show notes, click on the link, and buy a copy or 10 for yourself and your friends.
Thanks, you guys. That was awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
If you need more on this or any kind of parenting help, you can get more at FamilyLife.com/parenting help. It's going to be a benefit to you because we all need some help. Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.